Well, I'll tell you this, as the kids are heading out, I had this awesome Mother's Day message prepared. I mean, it was pink and red and roses and hearts. And I was on a plane last night coming back from Georgia and late. And I just felt like the Lord said, hey, let's do something different. Let's do something different. So some of you like it when he says, let's do something different. It wears me out, all right? But let's just see what the Lord has for us and pray together and just ask him to speak. Father God, we do love you. And as we settle in just with honor and reverence to listen to your word, just ask for you to speak. And we know that you've got something to say today, something for me, God, something for others here. Would you speak? We're listening. If you're listening, would you just tell him in your heart, I'm listening to you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We look forward to this in Christ's name. Amen. February 23rd, 1945, after intense fighting on the beaches and in the jungles of Iwo Jima, a small group of Marines began to climb up Mount Suribachi, which is a dormant volcano on one of the ends of the island of Iwo Jima. They're carrying with them a flag. It's 8 feet long. It's a big flag. And they're trying to avoid enemy fire as they climb up this dormant volcano, this mountain. And when they get up there, they find this pole, this pipe. It's actually a water pipe. It's about 3 inches or so in diameter. It's been left by Japanese forces as the Allied forces have taken over this high point of ground that dominates the landscape. These Marines, they tie that flag around the pipe or secure it to that pipe. And then together, they drive it into a pile of rocks. And then they lift it up to stand firm, visible to all the entire island. And it resulted in this iconic photo that for many of us just resonates with World War II. One of the reasons I show it today is because I think it also connects with us so viscerally, in part because we all do the same thing in our lives. We all, universally, we face things that oppose us, that resist us, that are obstacles in our life that we have to push through, drive a stake in the ground and push the pole up to say, we are standing here and we will not be moved. I think that's why that resonates. And anyone who follows Jesus knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about fighting against resistance. You know, you want to follow Jesus, but there's this pressure against you. Like, and this may be the reason that the Lord had me change the message. When I was flying back from Georgia last night, I was sitting next to this woman, a young mom. She had 2 kids that were 5 and 2. And she said, you know, my first child was like the people pleaser, compliant, just wants to make us happy. And then the 2-year-old is everything opposite of that. You know, strong-willed, defiant, oh, it's so hard. How can so much defiance be in such a little package? And she said, you know, I want to honor Jesus. I want to be patient. I want to be gentle. And I want to show my kids Jesus. But sometimes I just want to scream because they're driving me crazy. And sometimes I do scream. And then I just feel horrible about myself because that's not the way that Jesus would do things. You know, she's a woman who's pushing against the forces against her and trying to drive a stake in the ground, a flag in the rocks to say, I'm going to stand for Jesus and I'm going to persevere. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you may be trying to get out of financial debt. You want to get your house in order. You want to be able to honor Jesus. Maybe you've heard people that are giving or going and you're like, I want to be one of those people someday. And so you're on the long, hard road of trying to get your finances in order, but you're in the middle of it with a long way yet to proceed. And sometimes you're tired of cutting corners. You're tired of, you know, you're tired of making sacrifices. You just want to quit. You just want to go buy that thing. Everybody else is buying it. Why can't I buy it? I can afford the payment. Some of you feel it because you're single and you want companionship. And women, I don't know whether you're a younger single woman or an older single woman, it doesn't matter what app you go onto to find companionship. It just seems like today, doesn't it, that every man feels like he's entitled to your body. and you want to honor Jesus. And yet there's this force pushing against you and it's challenging. Maybe you're in a marriage right now and it's hard and it's a mess and you feel like you're the only one that's even lifting a finger to work on it. And sometimes you're thinking, man, when the kids go, I'm going. And yet inside you want to be faithful. You want to be that rock. You want to be that steadfast. You want to plant a flag. You want to say, I'm going nowhere. You want to honor Jesus in your marriage. There's a million different ways that when we follow Jesus, we experience what that picture represents. That force pushing against us. And today what I want to do, I want to share a weapon with you. You know, it's a verse of the Bible. But I look at verses in the Bible as weapons because in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us that the word of God is the sword of his spirit. So the word of God is not just something we cross stitch on and put in a frame in our guest bathroom. The word of God is a weapon that we use to fight and win a spiritual battle. It's through the use, it's partly through the declaration of Scripture that we plant that flag in the ground and push it up against all forces and say, I'm following Jesus. There's power in that. I want to teach you something about that today. 1 Corinthians 15:58, that's the verse. My dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There is not a day that goes by, hear me, not a day that goes by that I don't declare that out loud. I mean, I wield it like a sword. It's not just a memory verse. I know that verse. No, it is a sword and it is a well-used sword in my life because it dispels, it fights back the lies that the enemy would have me believe. Let me tell you something about this verse. He says first, stand firm and let nothing move you. You know why he says stand firm, let nothing move you? Because there's stuff that's going to try to knock you off your feet. It's a warning. He's telling you. He's looking ahead 2,000 years, God, through the Apostle Paul, and saying, hey, Crossbridge, you guys that are gathering on Mother's Day here at Crossbridge, I'm telling you, stand firm, let nothing move you. He's warning us because we're in a battle. There are forces that push against us. Sometimes, though, we make the mistake of thinking those forces are the people with whom we have problems. And when we make that mistake and we think the people, the person I'm having, like let's say maybe you've got a boss that is just unethical or so insecure in himself or herself that they can never share the credit with you. It's always got to be their idea. Always got to be theirs. Or maybe you, gosh, I'm not even sure. There's just a million different examples of this. And if we think, maybe you think your spouse is the problem. If my spouse would just do this, then we wouldn't argue so much or we wouldn't fire, marriage wouldn't be so contentious. And sometimes we think that person is the enemy. That person is the problem. But in Ephesians 6, Paul says, no, that's not true. In reality, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world. In this dark world, there are angels and demons. We just simply got to believe that because it's all through the New Testament. And when we mistakenly think that people are our problem, we approach it by trying to control them. We approach it by trying to placate them or patronize them or manipulate them or just to stay the heck away from them. Just avoid them. But in reality, they're not the problem. The real problem is that there's this spiritual force of evil that manipulates and leverages situations in our life to cause us, to lead us, hopefully, from their perspective, to lead us to distrust Jesus, to think he's not trustworthy. You know, maybe you've been sober for 63 days from alcohol or drugs or pornography or whatever. And you're in a stressful situation right now. And there's this thing inside of you that just wants to retreat back to that familiar form of escape. And yet in your heart, you want to be a man. You want to be a woman that drives that flag into the ground and pushes it up and says, I am not going anywhere. I'm following you, Jesus. See, God wants us to know and not be surprised when we face those obstacles and those challenges, because, and that's why he tells us, you got to be ready to stand firm. You got to be ready to let nothing move you, because you're going to encounter some things that are going to threaten to move you. Now, the good news about that is that you should not be shocked when you face trials of various kinds. Should not be surprised. He's telling you. Nor should you bear a sense of condemnation and shame. Because remember, he's not saying, if you feel like something's pushing and moving on you or trying to move you, or if you feel yourself not standing firm, you should be ashamed. He doesn't say that. He's telling you, like a father who knows what their child is going to encounter when they leave home and go off to get a job or go to college and knows the road ahead is hard. It's like a father saying, hey, listen, and this is what I told my girls. I said, girls, you are good-looking girls, and you are strong leaders as well. There can be boys that would like you to like them, probably, and not all of them are going to be in your league, and so I'm just going to tell you, you keep walking with Jesus. We only need one. We only need one boy. You know? And I'll tell you when he comes along. I'll tell you when he comes. Just send him my way. I'm serious. I do tell my girls, if you meet a guy who makes you want to love Jesus more, who makes you think, whoa, I need to catch up and go, that guy's in the range, okay, honey? And then after that, just send him to me and I'll do the hard work for you. Let you know. But I tell my girls things about the road ahead of them. And that's what Father God is doing to us right here. He said, hey, stand firm, let nothing move you. Because he knows there's going to be some things you encounter. Does that make sense? So don't feel shame. Don't feel dismayed. You're in a battle. Jesus said, in this world, you are going to encounter trouble. But take heart, I have overcome this world. All right? So you got to do that. You know, when everybody in your school or your class or maybe at your work is taking unethical shortcuts to get ahead and you feel like they have an unfair advantage, but you know in your heart what you desire to do is honor Jesus in your school, honor Jesus in your vocation. You just stick with it. You stick with it. Let nothing move you. And he says in that next line, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. You know what that means? It means that struggle you're facing, that hardship you're encountering, that opposition you're facing as you're trying to follow Jesus, and the effort that it takes from you, and the struggle that you have, he's telling you it's worth it. Always give yourself fully to what? To the work of the Lord. When you're fighting for your marriage, you're doing the work of the Lord. Ephesians 5, 21 through the end of the chapter tells us that marriage is not just about companionship. It is that, but more than that, it's a picture to the whole world of how much Jesus loves his followers and how much we love him back. It's a huge, it's like this monument. Your marriage is like a monument to him. And so when you fight for it, you are doing the work of the Lord. And he says, go for it fully. It's important. It's significant. You know, when that young mom on the plane was talking about just the struggle of loving her two preschool kids, I just was like, oh, Rachel, you are doing the work of the Lord. You know, the struggle you're having is the same struggle that Jesus has with us. You're trying to shape and mold these children's hearts. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing to us. Imagine, I mean, God's going through the same thing with us that you're going through with your kids. You're doing the work of the Lord. Oh, it matters. It's significant to him. It's significant to him. And the last thing that Paul says is, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Come on, you know sometimes it feels like it's in vain, don't you? He says, no, it is not in vain. Sometimes we think it's in vain when we measure success in too small of an increment. Like this mom, you know, I'm thinking, man, she's fatigued. She feels like she was a failure yesterday, and wondering, oh my gosh, is that gonna totally destroy my kids for the rest of their life or direct the path because I blew up at them? You know, she's measuring success in too small of an increment. And God says, listen, you got to zoom out. You got to zoom out, and then you got to even trust me. Only Jesus sees exactly what's going on. But let me tell you what he tells us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, he says that through us, through his followers, the incredible, vibrant, multifaceted, manifold wisdom of God is being made known to the rulers and authorities and powers in the heavenly realms. Like right now, your struggle, your perseverance, your desire to say, you know what? I'm not going to take that shortcut. I'm going Jesus' way. It's like a bonfire in the spiritual realm. It's like a bonfire of glory that goes up to God. Your obedience, your persistent faith, your perseverance matters to him. And in the spiritual realm, it's like glory is going up from you as you follow Jesus. And in the spiritual realm, the rulers and authorities and powers, the angels and the demons, they see that. They see power, the power of God in you. And they're like, wow, God, you are wise. You are right. You're amazing what you can do. These people could turn this way or that way. They could chase after this or chase after that. But no, he resisted going on the internet that night when his wife was gone and he was tired at the end of the day. And there's glory that's coming up from that man's obedience. It all matters to him. It all matters to him. It's worth it is what Paul's telling us right here. That struggle you're facing, and I wish I could sit down with each of you and know exactly what it is you're struggling with. And I can't, but the Holy Spirit can. But this is true for all of us. It's worth it. It's worth it. You know what he says in 1 Corinthians 3? We're just going, I don't really have any notes here, okay? It's just, but 1 Corinthians 3 says, anyone who is in Christ now begins to build on the foundation of Jesus. And when you build on the foundation of Jesus, everything counts. Like every word you speak has the potential to bring him glory. Now the enemy, our spiritual enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion. I think that was actually one of the words, the verses I was supposed to use to highlight that our enemy is not people. Our enemy is the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, there we go, be alert and of sober mind because your enemy, the devil, you have a spiritual enemy, okay? But you have an ally, a mighty warrior who is greater than that enemy. 1 John 4:4 says, the Spirit of God who dwells in all his followers. If you have genuinely said, Jesus, man, I'm receiving your forgiveness and I'm following you. I trust you and I'm going to follow you. And the Spirit of God comes into you and you have power. And that Spirit is greater than the Spirit that's in the world. You can walk in victory. You can resist. You can grow in patience. You can trust him with the most important things of your life. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 3, this is where I was going a second ago. He says that when you build on the foundation of Jesus, when you give your trust, entrust your life to him, every word has the potential to bring him glory. Every thought you think has the potential to bring him glory. He says, you wind up building. Every one of us who is in Christ builds, and we either build with gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or straw. He said, and it's not a you better not mess up kind of an attitude. It is a, hey, you can build with gold. You can build with silver and precious stones. Your thoughts, your words, your actions, even the ones in secret that nobody else sees, God sees. And it can be like a bonfire of glory going up to him. Your obedience can be. And what does that look like? Well, he says in Psalms, I think it's 103, he says that he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. Like, before I knew Jesus, the things I did in my flesh, the ways in which I distrusted him and broke his laws. He says, when I came to put my trust in him, he cast those things as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. He's amazingly forgetful. And then Jesus says in the book of John, he says, but everything you do out of love for me, no matter how small, like, let me think, how small could it be? Okay, like, even if you gave a cup of cold water to someone because you love me, I'll remember that and I will not fail to reward it. He's incredibly forgetful when it comes to our sin, but he is a meticulous record keeper when it comes to acts of faithfulness that are born out of genuine love for him. It's amazing. It's amazing. He gives us power to obey him and then says, I'm going to reward you for the things I did through you because you yielded to me. It matters. Everything we do now can honor him. He gives tremendous significance, the potential of tremendous significance to each of our lives. And I'll tell you something else. We are really poor. We're pretty poor estimators of what's going on in the spiritual realm. You know, but God isn't. And you have to, and I have to trust that when I walk in obedience and when I resist or when I ask my wife for forgiveness or when I grant forgiveness or when I take the hard road of following Jesus instead of the easy road that might lead to more money or more possessions or more pleasure or more whatever you want to come up with, when I do that, Jesus sees in the spiritual realm and what's going on, and it's significant. You know, those things you do to encourage other people may seem small to you. Don't make the mistake. They may not be small. It may be huge. We just don't know. See, people are going through life, and then when we follow Jesus, he intersects our life with theirs, and we don't know where we're intersecting their life. It could be at the point of salvation. It could be at the point of turning them from suicide. It could be at a point of their greatest despair. You don't know, right? It could be somewhere else in their journey. But what we do is we just say, Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to be faithful. And wherever I intersect someone's life, I want to reveal you to them. Jesus sees and he honors and he remembers and he rewards and we trust him because he says it is not in vain. There's not a thing you're doing right now, whatever it is that struggle is, that struggle you're having to follow him, keep persisting. It is not in vain. Do you hear him? He's saying this. It's not in vain. It matters. And let me tell you another thing too. The victorious Christian life is not marked by a life of perfection and no struggle. The victorious Christian life is a life of struggle and persistence. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Does cancer count as trouble? Yes. Does losing your job count as trouble? Yes. Does unfaithfulness on the part of a spouse count as trouble? Yes. We can fill in the blank. We face trouble, and Jesus knows it. Sometimes we think if following Jesus is like a straight path, in fact, I'll just go straight up, just straight up. We think that's what success is. Now, you know what success in the Christian life is? It's sometimes as we're following him and going that general direction, we wind up veering off. We don't want to, but we're human, and we fail, and we're pulled by all these things, and we veer off a little bit. You know what success is? Success is trusting the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ enough to turn back. He's not looking for us to wallow in guilt. There's no honor to Jesus when I wallow in guilt. Instead, when I go off the track and I realize it and I, whatever I've done, I'm like, oh, Jesus, my heart does not want to be a man in this situation. In fact, Lord, I'm just reaffirming, I want to follow you, and I know that through your death and resurrection, I can. And so I'm leaving the condemnation because you said I can take up my cross, crucify my sin, and follow you. And so you know what we do as we get, as the victorious Christian life is the one that just keeps coming back to Jesus, keeps coming back to Jesus, keeps walking. And hopefully as we do, and this is what happens, we start off varying like this, and then it gets more narrow and more narrow as we begin to trust the Lord. Every time you struggle and you turn to Jesus, Jesus blesses and reaffirms to you his trustworthiness. And the more you trust him, the more you'll follow him. And the more you follow him, the less appealing these other options are, because they lead to heartache and the death of joy and peace. And you become more comfortable saying no to everything else and more comfortable saying yes, because Jesus is trustworthy. This is what he has for you. So he says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So let me tell you how I use this. This is truth. This is not a platitude. If you go through if you're ever walking in the Panther Springs Park over there by Blanco and the Parman Library, you may hear some man that sounds like a lunatic saying this out loud. Quite loud. In fact, don't worry, it's just your pastor. Just your pastor doing this. But let me tell you what I do. Sometimes after Sunday morning, we may have a great Sunday and we're like, yes, but on Monday, I kind of hit those Monday morning blues. You have your own version of that, probably. And I start thinking, it's crazy thoughts, like I'm a failure, or I'm not doing enough, or so-and-so's better than me, or whatever. But you know what I do to fight that? I don't try to run away and watch a whole bunch of TV. I don't try to bury myself in a whole bunch of news apps. I don't try to escape that, because this enemy is going to prowl around like a roaring lion. He's going to chase me. And if I run, he's coming after me. And so I face him with the word of God. And I pull out the sword of 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I swing that bad boy. I wield it. That sword, I tell you, half the time I don't even put it in the sheath. I just keep it out. All right. And here's what I do when I feel those lies come in that are contrary to the truth of Jesus. I say, I will not be moved. I will stand firm. I am going to continue to give myself fully to the work of the Lord, because I know that my work and my labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus has made a promise to me, and I elaborate on it. I take these words and I elaborate on it. I say, I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to be moved by comparison to some other pastor or some amalgamation or compilation of different pastor traits that I could never measure up to. I'm not going to stand for that. I'm not going to measure myself by the fact that there was a bunch of empty seats in this section, or not enough people said nice things to me afterwards. You don't have to do that today. I'm just giving you an example. I'm not going to let my identity today, I'm not going to be moved by the enemy trying to push my identity into measuring my identity by the responses of people. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand firm. And instead of that, I'm going to keep giving myself fully to the work of the Lord. I'm going to study. I'm going to care. I'm going to be diligent in planning and have integrity in my schedule. I'm going to give myself fully to the work of the Lord, because I know that my labor in the Lord is not in vain. I may not be able to measure it worth anything today. It doesn't matter, because I know my labor in the Lord is not in vain. This word I'm giving to you, this giving up my sermon and taking whatever he had me say today, I don't worry about that, because my labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Make sense? And it's the same thing for you. It's the same thing for you. You just got to put your name in the blank. You got to put your situation in the blank. And then we wield the same sword. And when I feel those lies, sometimes the first thing I do before I get out of bed, I just remind myself, I'll use this or a number of other verses. In fact, when the Lord had me speak on this today, I thought in the fall after summer, I'm going to come back with a sermon, a series called Declarations. And we're just going to walk through our arsenal of weapons in Scripture that we can use to live the victorious life. Because when I speak these words, I sweep the lies out of my mind, because this is truth. And if the lies don't sweep out, then I speak it a little more forcefully and I push them out. And if they don't go out then, I'm just going to keep on doing it and cast those guys out of my mind. I'm going to use the truth and walk in victory, but I know I'm in a battle. I know I'm in a battle. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to tell you, we just only have a couple of minutes. Let's do this. Why don't we stand up? And let's just say this together, okay? I will stand firm. I will let nothing move. Hold on, let's do it again, okay? Take two. Okay, that's going to be great. That's going to be great for the video, okay? Okay, say it with me. I will stand firm. I will let nothing move me. I will always give myself fully to the work of the Lord because I know my labor in the Lord is not in vain. Okay, that sounds like a bunch of Christians repeating something. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to say it like we're rank and file in the military and we're facing our commander and we're about to run into battle. You know, Mel Gibson, you know that movie? There we go, Braveheart. Yeah. And we're about to charge down and beat whoever, I don't know, I forget. We're going to say it like we were facing an enemy, okay? And if you got to use some hand motions, use some hand motions. I do all the time. I'm seriously, you see me in Panther Creek Park, you'll think I'm crazy. But it is a spiritual battle and it is real. So let's do it together. I will stand firm. I will let nothing move me. I will always give myself fully to the work of the Lord because I know my labor in the Lord is not in vain. Come on, that's good. That's good. That's what I want you to do this week. I just want you to remember this, memorize this, and then use this like a sword, okay? Let's pray together. God, you alone are our commander, and you have given us everything we need, you said in 1 Peter 3. You've given us everything we need to walk in godliness and faithfulness. We lack nothing. You said Ephesians 1:3, you have given us every spiritual blessing in Jesus, in relationship with Jesus. We are equipped. We're going to press in. We're going to press in this week, God. We're going to be in your word. We're going to use those scriptures that are in the bulletin, if nothing else. We're going to press into Christian community through discipleship or life group or taking a friend to lunch and sharing what our struggle is. And Lord, and we're going to speak truth and we're going to be imparters of truth that others may know that you love them. And we're going to do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, and may the God of peace go with you.